I mean, a lot of stuff should follow the recipe, but all part of time.
That's a talent. It's truly a talent, and I don't have it. I have the exact way.
That sounds cool.
What's a pen?
Yeah, I get close.
I'd be interested in about that other soup. That sounds intriguing.
I'll send you the slides. My friend, I'm gonna do the bread one too, so if you want to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the January 17th meeting of Orville City Council. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Tim Davis from Calvary Life Church. Would you stand, please?
Let's pray. Lord, your word reminds us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, we come tonight because our land needs healing. Lord, from our White House all the way down through, we pray that you would sovereignly move in our land again as godly people come together and as they seek your face. We pray, Lord, tonight for our mayor. We pray for this city council, for these leaders that have gathered together in this room. Lord, we want unity in the body. We want to see that because we believe, Lord God, that a house divided cannot stand. So I pray for unprecedented unity. I pray for a season of continual growth and just blessing, Lord God, as we walk in obedience to your word. Bless and strengthen these men and women. They've taken time away from their lives, their families. Pray your blessing on them, and I pray that everything that's said and done will bring honor and glory and praise to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Have roll call, please.
Shoup.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Vance.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Spirit.
Here.
Korfman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of our meeting minutes from the January 3rd City Council meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes?
Mr. accepted as documented.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Vance.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
We have no public comment scheduled for this evening. We'll move to standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Asparis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. Utilities, Mr. Korfman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utility Committee has no report.
Thank you. Health and Safety, Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Health and Safety Committee does not have a report.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have no report tonight yet. Thank
you. Mr. Shoup, Transportation.
Thank you. I also have no report.
Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. I join the crowd. Nothing, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and Personnel, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening, but I would like to just address a question that I had from a constituent in my ward. We have on Vine Street and McGill Street at the railroad crossing, we have stop signs there now. They've been there since summer, and I spoke to Mr. Wheeler months ago about them to find out why, in fact, they had seemingly sprung up out of nowhere, and we talked again today just to clarify that, and my constituent and I both thought that it'd be helpful to explain that those were mandated by the state. They do count as stop signs. He observed that many residents seem to blow right through them or coast through them somewhat. But they are, in fact, stop signs and will be enforced as such. The crossing of the same tracks on Main Street had an ex- an exemption because of the traffic flow on Main Street. It would be, I believe in Mr. Wheeler's words, disastrous if cars stopped at that crossing every time too. So I just wanted to clarify that for the folks in the south end of town.
Mr. Lawrence, I was saying we also have the same thing under the underpass where Walnut Street and Pine Street intersect, which when that one first went up was very strange for everybody in that area. But again, that was put up by the railroad, I believe, or at least it was required by them.
It was put up by the Ohio Railroad Development Commission with ODOT.
So yeah, it kind of caught everybody off guard on that one too, because it almost seems no reason to be there, but it is, and it is a stop sign.
Yes, and as Mr. Wheeler explained, it's a state mandate, and it supersedes any local law. So there's not much we can do.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. We have no special committee reports this evening. We'll move on to the administrative reports. Mayor Handworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. And for those of you that are visiting tonight, I will say that normally these fellows all have a lengthy report, but they knew that I was doing this tonight, and they couldn't wait for me to start. So, and if you believe that, I have land for you someplace to sell. And also, before I start, just for the record, I'd like to say that it's January 17th, and at the time this council meeting started, it was 54 degrees outside, and I think probably close to 60 today, so we'll take that any time for January here in Ohio. All right, our 2016 State of the City, citizens of Oroville, and council members and administration, 2016 has been another busy and productive year for the city and our utility services. Once again, I want to thank Andrew Canode from Armstrong for video recording our meetings, and Paul Loper from the Daily Record for being here to help us get important information out to our citizens all year long. I'll give a brief update of many of our departments and also try not to get into too much detail, as our directors and our chiefs also have 2016 reports coming up over the next month or so. Finance. 2016 revenue for the city remained very consistent and on a positive side. We continue to do well because we have strong industries that are also very diversified here in Oroville. Most of them have had positive years as well. We have a couple that we keep a close contact on and with as they face some struggles right now, and we still must monitor effects and decisions that were made by state finance cuts that we had started a few years ago that continue to be a problem for many municipalities, villages all across the state. So we do need to keep continually monitoring that. Ms. Strimlin and her department continue to do a wonderful job with our finance department. Safety Service Department. Certainly most people in town are aware that last April and May, we had the retirement of former Police Chief Dino Carroza. And while many times this type of a retirement can cause some real issues with the police department, our search was an easy one as former Captain Matt Burkbeck was promoted to our new police chief. Matt has stepped in during an extremely busy time as we moved dispatch services to the WARCOG and changed our radio communication service over to Mark's radios. And both changes have gone very well for us. Just a little bit on the WARCOG itself. The change to the WARCOG was a huge undertaking for us. Our dispatchers that moved over to the WARCOG with us had a new learning curve as well with all the new equipment that was in there. And I know some of them had a little bit of worry about that, but I think they've all done very well over there. Mr. Wheeler, Chief Burkbeck, and Chief Ballantyne have done an excellent job in guiding us through the process. And we'll still see some bumps in the road to work out, but we have been very pleased with our dispatching since we've been part of the WARCOG. Making the move to go to Mark's radios has also been a great improvement for us, and we thank Council for helping us move in that direction and giving us the support that we needed. The increased service area and also the clear sound that's been added has been a great benefit to our police, and fire departments, and ultimately the safety of our citizens. We had a fire just a few weeks ago that was pretty much on the outskirts of town. And I know Captain Ron Valentine was telling me the next day, he said, I couldn't believe the difference with those radios. He said, before, if we'd have been where we were, there's no way I could have contacted anybody back here at the station and figured I would get a hold of anybody. And he said we had clear sound and clear connection. And the same thing with the dispatching service. There's still a few things to work out with the Marks radios countywide and even with us. But the part that has been used and worked out, I've heard them, and the sound is incredible compared to what it used to be. It's been very good working with Worcester and Ashland through this whole process as well. They've been a good group to work with, and I think we've made a pretty good team with the whole thing. 2016 was yet another year for a lot of street improvement work. Asphalt overlay and concrete street repair was done mostly by outside contractors because of the size of those jobs. But our own crews did an awful lot of work on catch basins before that surface work was started. OPWC grant funds enabled us to do part of that work, and we thank the Commissioner's Office for their help each year as we apply for those funds. The rest Mr. Wheeler budgeted for, and with the City Council's backing, we were fortunate to be able to make needed repairs. Many communities are not as lucky to do as much street repair as we do every year. And while you might get sick of orange cones, the alternative is worse, because if there's no orange cones, that means nothing's getting done out there. The safety department also worked closely with Rails to Trails of Wayne County this summer, and all year really with the grant, to complete the trailhead restrooms downtown, and also the trail portion in town leading to the Blackwell Williams property, through that property and out the other side heading down Main Street. The ribbon cutting for the restroom area was this fall and went very well. Orr Park continues to be a busy place in the summer months, and having lived in Orrville my entire life, I think it looks the nicest it's ever looked out there. Our guys do a great job with the park and also our pool staff each summer. The lower park area, I think, has especially improved in appearance over the last 10 years. I think that place has really looked never better right now. Softball dugouts on the main field, that'd be Miser Field, those should be ready to use this spring. We are aware that we have lost some seating out there, but we need to keep in mind that the dugouts are for the people playing the game, and I think there'll still be plenty of seating there for people that they'll be able to see the games. They might not be able to sit where they used to sit to watch a game. They might have to find a new spot. But I think once people get used to that, that'll be fine. But we've heard many times how well our field is liked by different teams that are here, but their only negative was that there was no dugouts. And teams during those long tournament weekends were sitting out all day long with not even being able to get in the shade in between innings and so forth. And that whole project really was made possible with our Firefighters Association. With their connection and them doing the huge tournaments in the summer, that was where in one area that they wanted to improve. And so that's why we did that. But we also wanted to make sure we worked with our high school girls softball team to make sure they were approving of that too. And the coach was very pleased with the dugouts. And they'll be ready for them this spring, which after today isn't that far away, that temperature. Two things to keep in mind for down the road, and I mean literally down the road. ODOT has informed us that Main Street will be repaved in 2018. Now, don't get excited. That's not 17. It's 18. So we still have to get through some patching this year yet. And then when 18 gets here, the city's part will be to do a lot of the foundation work, and we'll do as much of that as we can, the base work again. And hopefully, you know, the last time we thought we did it, considerable amount of base work, and obviously there was areas that cropped up later then that still needed work, so it'll be a never-ending battle there with all that truck traffic. Also in 2018, our water department will probably be replacing the water line on High Street, and our utilities director, Mr. Bettinger and Mr. Wheeler, have done an excellent job in informing each other when those kind of jobs are going to be done. The idea or the plan is right now is if we get those funds from OPWC to help the utilities to do that project in 18. Then in 19, we will come back and also do the resurfacing of High Street. So again, we need to get through a couple years of some patching, and then we'll be ready to do High Street in 19. Orville Utilities, on the utility side, 2016 was a huge year. After the EPA agreement was reached, the work was accelerated at the power plant to meet that agreement. The process of switching from coal to natural gas for our largest boiler was not a simple one. The plans were very detailed, but it was quite impressive that our own crew did nearly all the work down there, which amounted to a great savings to our ratepayers. As part of that agreement, our electric utility also switched all of our street lights over to LED lights, and we've talked about this at council meetings before. But again, I don't think people realize what a big undertaking that was, and they were probably going to take a year and a half or so to do that, and they actually got it done this summer. So our hats off to our distribution team for getting all those lights done. I think we've had a lot of good comments about the lights. We certainly appreciate our partnership with utilities. If there ever comes a day where on the city side we have to pay for street lighting and pay for our lights at the park and so forth, things could be very different. I've been in meetings before with other city mayors, some fairly large cities in southern Ohio that actually said they turned their street lights off because they had to pay for their street lights. They didn't have a power plant in their town like we do. And, you know, they had a bill of $300,000-$400,000 a year for street lighting, and they couldn't afford to pay for it, so they shut them off. And I sat in that meeting trying to imagine what it would be like out here tonight to have no street lights. And I just don't know how you get by doing that. So we're very fortunate to have the power plant helping us the way they do. We also realize that at some point in time it may be a situation where they cannot just donate that electric to the street lighting, and then there's going to be some real budget changes for us on the city side to make sure that we can still provide that. Our utilities under Mr. Brettinger also are looking seriously at a potential solar field, possibly two solar fields. That would be another AMP partnership project. This could be another source of some renewable energy for Orville's portfolio. It's not a large amount. It'll look large when it's all out there, but the amount of electricity is not as large as what you might think. But it is still something that works for our total usage and will be good if it all comes together. Our hotel. 2016 was the year that Orville witnessed the building of its first hotel in the modern era. There were several many, many years ago, but we have lacked a good hotel for most of the past century. After a few years of talking back and forth with our city administration, Cobblestone Hotels finalized their plans and broke ground this past June. Any of you that have come down North 57 have seen the new hotel out there. The plans right now look to be possibly to open in March. And we've heard a little bit about that today. So they're hoping to be open in March and be ready to go. This hotel will have 54 rooms. That's three floors. They'll have an indoor pool, breakfast bar, and many other amenities. So welcome Cobblestone to Orville. In the area of economic development, 2016 brought the continuation of the beginning of several expansion projects and the beginning. The J.M. Smucker Company has had a major expansion underway during 2016 and before, and the renovating of part of the old manufacturing facility into a customer-based innovation center. Venture Products also had two expansion projects. One will be a training center, and one is a new state-of-the-art paint line and additional warehousing space. Jarrett Companies completed a 100,000-square-foot warehouse on North Main Street and purchased and completely renovated the First National Bank Operations Center, also on North Main Street. This will house many of their employees and ease overcrowding in their original site across the road. Also, Mike and Diane Jarrett were recognized as the Chris Schmid Economic Development Innovator Award winners. And this is connected with the WEDC, Wayne Economic Development Council, and so we congratulate them for that. Beckert also submitted plans and broke ground for an additional manufacturing facility on Collins Boulevard, This building will house operations that are currently still down on Pine Street. And so we thank all of these industries and our businesses for their continued investment in Oroville each year. We're very blessed with what goes on here. 2016 also brought two new industries to Oroville. Hawkins, the name of that company, is a Minnesota company, purchased 22 acres in our older industrial park, but they will not be actually building their building till 2018. This is a company that warehouses chemicals for water treatment plants. So we have one nearby. Maybe we'll be able to work something out with them. I don't know. And also McElroy Packaging purchased 9.25 acres in the new industrial business park to construct a manufacturing facility. This company had outgrown their space that they currently occupy in Worcester. Not all news was good news, however, as JLG announced this past fall that they were outsourcing their distribution part of the company to a third party, and this will result in loss of about 160 jobs over the course of the year, not all at once. This was also tied to the continued delay of the Pine Street portion of the truck route and consequently delayed that project for, we don't know when, indefinitely, I guess. We're still hoping to get that done, but it kind of all went together with that. Also, the news that Audrey's attic is closing, so Audrey can be a full-time grandma, and so we can't hold that against her, I guess. So we thank Audrey for all her years of having a successful business here in downtown Oroville. We'll wait to see yet if anybody new comes in that building or what will happen there. 2016 also brought Redwood and XL Builders to the Planning Commission to present a cluster subdivision with plans to build duplex-type higher-end rental properties to the west of Blackberry Condominiums. These would all be 1-4 units, two-car garage acting as the buffer in between units and the living spaces. All are two bedrooms. There will be an on-site manager at all times if this all happens. If these are accepted or approved by City Council, it will bring living space that various Oroville entities have been telling us for years that we need here in Oroville. So we hope that that will all work out. So another busy year for the city and utilities. For me, I continue to serve on the Ohio Municipal Electric Association Board, or OMEA, the Wayne Economic Development Council and Heartland Education Steering Committee, and the Boys and Girls Club Board. At the end of 2016, I did step away from serving on the Ohio Mayor's Association Board and also the Ohio Municipal League Board of Directors. I had served on those for the past 8 years and decided I was driving to Columbus way too often, so stepped away from those. Our Proud to Be Your Neighbor program and Employee of the Month program and Citizen of the Month program at the elementary school all finished their ninth year this year, and they're still going strong. Also, my monthly article to Oroview has finished its ninth year. And with that, I will say we are looking forward to a very positive 2017, and I thank you, and if there are any questions, I will try to answer those. If not, I'm done. Okay.
No hands went flying up. Yes. Mayor. We'll move to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. A short report tonight. There is no delay on trash pickup this week, so a pickup is the usual Thursday. So have your trash ready to go Thursday morning. And also, the street department is out. They're busy cleaning stormwater basins this week, as well as repairing potholes. If you happen to see one that we've missed, by all means, give me a call. Give 684-5000 a call, and we'll be glad to hit it if we missed it. But we're hoping to have all those taken care of by the end of this week with the weather being as nice as it is. And that's my report for tonight.
Your phone's ringing, right? I promise.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll update a couple comments that the mayor's already made tonight. One of those does concern the solar project. As the mayor mentioned, we do have two sites that are going through some due diligence work On the smaller of the two sites, we've identified some wetland areas that we're trying to navigate and explore a couple different options on there. With but those both of those sites are still going through some preliminary engineering, but we do have a couple of issues to deal with the smaller two sites. Also, to expand a little bit more on the where we stand on the EPA settlement last September, as the mayor mentioned, we did convert the unit over to natural gas, the largest coal-fired unit. All of those mandates become effective January 31st of this year. So we are on track to hit all of those. The mayor mentioned all the street lighting work has been done. The conversion work is done. That will be formally tested later this week. The limited operation on the remaining coal units that weren't subject to that settlement, other than from an operating perspective, we have plans already in place to deal with that big transitioning. So beginning January 31st, roughly 2 weeks from now, we go from breaking about 100 years of operating that plant on a 7 days a week, 24-hour basis to something a lot different, mostly operating that plant in the winter periods and summer periods, and we'll have to kind of see where the market takes us and gas prices take us on those fall and spring modes. But a lot of work, as the mayor has mentioned, is going into that since that settlement late last fall. I'll speak a little bit to the resolution later on concerning the truck. We did have our annual EPA inspection at our water treatment facility. The agency from the district office in Twinsburg comes in once a year to overview our operations, do a detailed site review, and go through all of our records and reports that we submitted over the past year, and we got a clean bill of health on that one. And sticking to the theme mode, I just checked my phone there, we still are above 50 degrees. At our utility board meeting last Monday, we did update the board with the 2016 financial report, and I just wanted to highlight that we had 266 residential and 44 businesses and industries that contributed to the Bloom and Orville program in 2016. We are in great shape on that fund and that effort going into 2017. We'll be going into our fourth year since the utilities took that program over from the Main Street Orville, and I want to thank Ms. Dremlin and Mike Hedberg for managing that program and all of our customers that participate in that. If you're a first-time pass-through on this community and you've gone down Main Street and saw those planters and those displays there, it really says a lot for what we have going on here. Other than that, that's all the comments I have tonight then, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Redinger. We'll move on to our finance director, Ms. Dremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance is busy working on closing year end and preparing for our annual audit. We're also working with the administration on final appropriations, which will be presented to council in March. And one other item, just to give you a heads up, at the next meeting I'm going to be presenting a resolution for the annual audit expenses so that the state can come in along with local government services and perform the audit and assist with our financial statements. And also at the next meeting I'll give a reminder to the residents about the income tax filing requirements. That's all I have this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. We have no old business scheduled for, excuse me, get my report first. Almost forgot myself tonight. Our clerk has an item she needs to bring before council this evening.
We have a request for a new liquor license for the Orville Cobblestone Hotels. So if there's no objections, we'll go ahead and submit that.
Saw no hands go flying up. Thank you. We have no old business scheduled for this evening. We'll move to new business. Mr. Morrison.
Ordinance number A-17. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ordinance number A-17, an ordinance amending the zoning map created by Chapter 1120 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to reclassify parcels of land located on the southeast side of Roar Road, consisting of 12.044, 11.445, and 13.467 acres in the City of Oroville, Ohio, from R1 residential to R2 residential.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a request by XL Builders, as Mayor Hamrick mentioned in his annual report, to rezone almost 37 acres behind Blackberry Development from R1 single-family homes to R2 for the construction of what we refer to as high-end duplexes with the target renter of young professionals and retirees. The property would be managed by Redwood Apartments, who has these developments in 6 states, including Iowa, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, South Carolina, and Kentucky. There are 2 of these developments currently in Worcester, 2 in Medina, 2 in Wadsworth, 1 in Uniontown, 1 in Louisville, and 19 overall in just northeast Ohio. They are proposing to develop 214 total units over 3 separate phases, with 74 units in the first phase with the primary access off of Roar Road. The planning commission has heard this request and is recommending council approval. For tonight, I am requesting the council schedule a public hearing as part of the next scheduled council meeting on Monday, February 6th. And I'd also ask the developer to also to give a presentation as part of that public hearing.
I'll make a motion for the public hearing on February 6th.
Second. Second, Mr. Shuman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Have any other questions for Mr. Wheeler?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. The streets in this development, will they be private streets?
They would be private streets as they proposed, yes, sir.
So they will maintain them as far as the conditions and snow and ice and all that sort of
yes,
thing?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions? Okay, we'll move to our next item.
Resolution number 417. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Asparis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution number 417. A resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities and or the Public Utilities Board of Control to enter into a contract without bidding for the replacement of electric distribution truck number 58 with a truck which meets the specifications of the City of Oroville and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did send Council out a letter on January 10th describing what we're looking at for the replacement of this truck during its annual safety inspection about a month or so ago. We discovered that we have a lot of corrosion damage of the chassis of this unit, especially where that chassis connects with the main boom derrick, or this is the lifting aerial device that's mounted to that chassis. From our perspective and from the recommendations of the manufacturer for the application of this chassis, it is it's a big safety issue for the utilities. The chassis itself, the truck itself, can be repurposed, but just not for the purpose of this utility boom truck. This chassis and connecting deck is the primary connecting point where that 55-foot derrick is attached. And we did have this truck on planned replacement for 2018. We're just needing to move the schedule up on it. We did not have that appropriated for in our 2017 budget, but when we look at final appropriations here in the next month or so, we'll make a budget amendment for that. We do have two firm bids for this. Both bidders will be bidding through the state's purchasing program. The range on those two bids are in the low to upper $180,000 range, which is pretty typical for this type of unit. We had one other unofficial quote that that came in just a little under $250,000 for this truck. All the proposals were for the same type of chassis, the same type of derrick or lifting device on this. Again, we are still looking at internally whether or not we will be trading in that chassis, repurposing that, either utilities or there may be some interest at the city level. The boom itself is pretty close to the end of the useful life to the, from a service perspective in the normal number of years. We normally keep those units, which are in the 14 to 16 year period. You know, we'll take a look and we'll see whether or not there's some trade-in type value for that. And I'll answer any other questions that you have for that. We will be taking on a different posture as far as rust treatment on these trucks go. We've been talking with the folks in our street department, and they go in with a different undercarriage rust treatment program that's been a little bit more successful than what we had been using. So that'll hopefully prolong the longevity of the existing fleet, and we'll utilize that same program for this new new chassis that will be coming in. Both of the two firm proposals that we have, those trucks are in service. We're not in dire need for the truck right now. Normally, we wait anywhere from 6 to 9 months on these, but this is a pretty garden variety type type truck, similar to the other trucks in our fleet. And with that, I'll entertain any other questions that you might have on that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Mr. Brediger, you mentioned garden type truck. So, what's the time frame we're looking at
for this one?
Yes.
This will truck will be available in 6 to 8 weeks. Okay. It is a stock. It is a stock truck for both of these vendors.
Okay. That kind of leads me into my next question. Maybe this is for Ms. Strimlin. In the legislation we have, and you mentioned an adjustment made to the final appropriations, I think final appropriations on a tentative schedule is late May. So will we have to have legislation prior to that, or?
Well, the final appropriations will be completed in March. It has to be completed by the 30th of March. And what's going to happen is Mr. Brediger won't be able to spend some of the other items that he may have had planned for 2017 until after March, so that he's not over-appropriated.
Okay.
Yeah, this won't have any impact on our other capital spending for that time period.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Anyone else have any? Yes, sir, Mr. Burke.
I understood correctly, though, at Utility Board, this truck is now out of service.
Yes, yes, for this purpose. That's correct, yes.
We are one truck short.
One truck down, right. Yeah, we're just reappropriating the crews, doubling up right now. But it's convenient that the truck is available there. So normally that would be cramping our style coming into the spring season where we would normally be waiting on this. So the timing is good from that perspective, other than we're turning the clock ahead a year.
Anyone else have any questions or comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Vance.
Borkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spheres?
Yes.
I move resolution number 417 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spheres?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. That finishes up our new business for this evening. Does anyone have anything for the court of the order tonight? No hands went up. Make that last one. Mr. Hampshire.
I move we adjourn, sir.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Shoup.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spheres?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting this evening. We're now adjourned.
Literally, that whole meeting, I was like,
I like looking for eyes down there. I can't see it that far.
I, you know, I really don't like a lot of that, but, you know, I could probably, I bet it's been less than 10 items over the years, other than some trinkety things, you know.
I just don't. I don't like it. But it's cute.
Yeah, I agree. I like the past.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Do you have a tax? Where you go?